Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
This is the latest in our series, The Life of a Song, and I'm David Cheel. This week, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
When times get rough, and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down.
2 years ago, the UK estate agent, Savills, advertised a property for sale. It was a picturesque thatched house in the Devon village of Bickley. The listing stated, quote, "The pretty gardens extend along the riverbank to Bickley Bridge, beside which the Simon and Garfunkel song, Bridge Over Troubled Water, is said to have been written." The Bickley Bridge story is an endearing, enduring tale, but it is entirely false. It's claimed that the song emerged from Paul Simon's stay at the nearby Fisherman's Cot Inn when the river flooded in the 1960s. And it's true that Paul Simon lived for a while in that part of Devon and may even have stayed in Bickley. But in 2002, when Art Garfunkel was asked on BBC Radio Devon if the Bickley Bridge story is true, he replied, "No, I'm sorry. Bridge Over Troubled Water is a gospel phrase which Paul took from a gospel group." The song was written by Simon in the rather less bucolic city of Los Angeles in 1969. As Garfunkel said, it was partly inspired by the 1940s and 50s gospel band the Swan Silvertones. Tensions between the pair were running high, and Garfunkel was often away filming Catch 22 in Mexico. The recording sessions for what was to become Simon and Garfunkel's last album featured three musicians known as the Hollywood Golden Trio: bassist Joe Osborne, who gave the song its distinctive twin bass guitars, drummer Hal Blaine, and keyboardist Larry Nechtel. The song had been written on guitar in a different key and was arranged for piano by Jimmy Haskell. To begin with, Bridge Over Troubled Water was a modest affair with two verses, but Garfunkel thought it had the potential to become something bigger. Thus, Simon came up with the third Sail On Silver Girl verse. The suggestion that this is a reference to drugs and needles is another myth. The verse was sparked by the premature grey hairs that had appeared on the head of Simon's then-wife, Peggy Harper. By placing the drums in an echo chamber and adding strings, producer Roy Haley transformed Simon's modest hymn into a grand, stirring, Phil Spector-ish number. But who was to sing it? When it came to the vocals, which were recorded in New York, Simon thought it suited Garfunkel's voice. Garfunkel thought it was better suited to Simon's falsetto. Eventually, Garfunkel relented and sang it. Simon has since said that he regretted giving the song away, not least because when they performed it live, Simon had to sit on the sidelines and watch Garfunkel lapping up the applause. It's ironic that a hymn to friendship and sacrifice turned out to be a source of such resentment between two old high school friends. Bridge Over Troubled Water became the biggest pop song of 1970, charting at number one on both sides of the Atlantic. The album of the same title became a fixture at the top of the charts. Hundreds of versions followed. The Second Hand Songs website has counted 233. Elvis Presley included a grandiose and somewhat plodding live version on his 1970 album Elvis, That's the Way It Is.
Sail on by, your time has come to shine, all your dreams are on their way.
Jamaican singer Jimmy London reggae-fied it. Willie Nelson country-fied it with his customary elegance.
And pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down.
Both Simon and Garfunkel have continued to sing it. Last year, Paul Simon and Sting toured together, with Sting giving the song a powerful rendition. Not all versions were as respectful of the original. In 2008, Simon sued the Rhythm Watch Company of Japan for unlicensed use of the song on its Grand Nostalgia musical clock. They settled out of court for an undisclosed sum. Perhaps the finest version was released in 1971 by Roberta Flack, whose arrangement took the song back to its roots with a gospel-y 3-4 swing. Like many singers, she changes water to waters, and over 7 minutes she inhabits the song in a stunning vocal performance, with the Newark Boys chorus adding an ethereal glow. It's music to ease a troubled mind.
Downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.